Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League, your number one source for all the league's top headlines. Here's your host, Justin Kinner.
The journey to the Horizon League tourney starts right here. It's Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. I'm Justin Kinner, glad to be back with you here, as of course we are officially at the race to the finish line. That's right. I can't believe it. It's mid-February. We just all celebrated Valentine's Day this week. I look at the calendar. I'm like, holy smokes. We are very close to postseason. We're very close to March Madness, and this is my favorite time of year. And then you start to look at the standings within the conference for both men and women's basketball. Things are heating up, which is good with how cold it is outside. I'm excited to come back at you with another week's edition of Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. And while everybody is talking about Cleveland State and of course the reigning defending Horizon League champions, Dennis Gates has done a fantastic job since taking over the Cleveland State Vikings program, and they're sitting right at the top. Oakland is right up there at the top as well. Of course, they are running off of the success of Jamal Cain, of course, who they were able to get the big time transfer from Marquette in the offseason, and Coach Cain Campy's done a fantastic job blending the talent, and they are just as dangerous as anyone at the top of the league. Of course, Wright State's always in the mix, but that one team that always seems to be the thorn in everyone's side, while everyone focuses on the Antoine Davises of the world, as they should, by the way, the Pat Baldwin Juniors of the world, Cleveland State doing a great job, Jamal Cain at Oakland, there's NKU. Northern Kentucky, who's no stranger to the NCAA tournament, no stranger to hoisting up the trophy come Horizon League tournament time. And you look at the success that they have had over the last couple of weeks, and it's no surprise why they are also sitting atop the Horizon League standings. Voice of the Norse in Northern Kentucky, we have Jim Kelch joining us on this week's edition of Reach the Horizon. Mr. Kelch, good morning. Welcome. How are you today?
I'm well, Justin. Thanks, and appreciate your having me on. I always love to talk about Darren Horns, Northern Kentucky Norse.
Yeah, and let's talk about them, because you know what I found interesting, and again, rightfully so, there's so many great players in the conference, there's so many great storylines, and then there's Northern Kentucky, who on paper, and there's no disrespect, not the sexiest of rosters, right? Like, there's not the names that pop out that are just dominating the league in scoring, and I think that's kind of the NKU model for success right there, because it's about team basketball, and that's what NKU does. And, you know, you start looking at their recent run of success since January 25th, Jim, they own two wins over Wright State, they have a win over Oakland, and a win over Cleveland State, and with just a handful of games remaining, they're the hottest team in the Horizon League right now. What have you seen as far as how this team has kind of turned things around? Hasn't been a down season, but it hasn't been a season that they've dominated either. But with some wins over the top teams in the conference and right there in the mix of things for a Horizon League title, this has been a fun stretch, I'm sure, calling these games.
Well, I'll tell you, you hit on a couple of good points. It hasn't been the best of seasons for NKU in terms of overall record. Right now, they sit at 15 wins and 10 losses, and at one point, right in the early part of January, after losing to Milwaukee in a game, by the way, in which they had a 17-point lead early in the second half, lost that game to the Panthers. They sat at 5-8 overall. That's on January the 1st, and everybody was shaking their head and scratching their head, figuring, what's going on with this team? How can a team that made it to the semifinals of the conference tournament a year ago be in this position now with, by and large, the same team back from last season, and then adding a guy who's going to be, more likely than not, the freshman of the year in the Horizon League in San Vincent, and one of the top rebounders in the league from another team, Detroit, and you get Chris Brandon in here. So how can this team be, after 13 games, the way it is? And the answer turned out to be they all weren't quite meshing the way they needed to mesh. They were still figuring each other out, and maybe they weren't quite in the right positions where they needed to be. So to Darren Horn's credit and his staff's credit, they did a little tweaking on Sam Vincent, who came much heralded in to this program this year, was the starting point guard. They moved him to the off guard spot, and in place of him there, put Bryson Langdon back into that starting point guard position. Bryson has been here for 3 years now, and by and large has been a starter. On occasion, he's gone out of the lineup when other players have come back from injury, but it always seems like Bryson Langdon finds himself back into the starting rotation for NKU. And when he went back into that starting point guard spot, it allowed Sam Vincent really to not worry about that, all the stuff that goes into being the point guard, and concentrate on his offense and his defense. And things really blossomed from that point on. And really, you can even point to the fact that when Adrian Nelson in the middle was down due to COVID implications, he missed a couple of games, and Chris Brandon, who had always been a starter at Detroit, moved into the starting rotation for the first time. He seemed to really take off in that spot. So from that point on, things have really, really gone well. And, of course, we know that NKU has won 9 of its last 10, 10 of its last 12, and went from 1-3 in the conference to where they are now at 11-5. And right, as you said, right in the mix of everything atop the league.
Yeah, 8 players averaging 5 or more points per game. And I know you look at 5 points per game and say, well, that's not that special. But when you think about the team basketball aspect and you start getting those kind of contributions, when you're getting multiple buckets from at least 8 players on a nightly basis, I mean, that's called just spreading the rock around. That's sharing the basketball, good team quality basketball. And then, of course, the 3 players you talked about averaging all in double figures with Marquise Warwick, Sam Vincent, you talked about, and of course, a familiar name, and Trayvon Faulkner. I mean, this is just a very good balanced team. You know, when you talked about how, you know, that switch that was flipped and the adjustments that Coach Darren Horn made throughout, you know, I just always find NKU so fascinating because they've won 3 of the last 5 Horizon League tournaments. They buy into the system, whether it was John Brandon there, now Darren Horn there. The atmosphere at these NKU games and, of course, the culture, I mean, just talk about how that just never seems to change from one season to next, whether it was John Brandon, whether it was Darren Horn now. Just the program itself, what separates it from the other from the other schools in the conference as far as the culture is concerned?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Justin, because there are a lot of great schools in the Horizon League, a lot of very nice arenas, but for some reason we feel here at Northern Kentucky that it's kind of a hidden gem among mid-major college basketball facilities and programs, in that it is located like Cleveland State, like Detroit, like Oakland, like Milwaukee, in a big city with only 3 miles from campus to the middle of downtown Cincinnati. And arguably, BB&T Arena is the nicest arena in town. Now, people will say the renovated Fifth Third Arena for Cincinnati is very good. The Cintas Center at Xavier is very good. And they all are. But BB&T Arena is a beautiful arena. And when you see opposing players and fans come in and looking around thinking, wow, this is a beautiful place, it is a really good recruiting tool as well. The fact that you're near a big city in Cincinnati and have an airport here that people can fly right into, in Northern Kentucky, that is the greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky International Airport. All those things really play into the fact that Northern Kentucky, right in the middle of the conference by and large, is a great stop for very good players, players who are moving from maybe a high major, going down to the mid-major area, junior college transfers, and whatever you may have there. I just think it is a perfect landing spot for a lot of people, big enough so they can have a good time and enjoy things that they like, small enough when you get away from downtown that you can relax and have fun. And the basketball has always been great, led by, and this is funny because a lot of players, you don't see them hanging around the arena once their careers are over. But there are 2 guys in particular that hang around NKU that are there a lot, that work in the community. And the biggest one, of course, is Drew McDonald, the all-time leading scorer and rebounder in NKU history, is there. He's at almost every single game. And we were joking the other day when the NKU beat Detroit, when they beat Oakland in an overtime game, that Greg Campy got a couple technicals at the end of the game and was thrown out of the contest. And it said it probably really manifested itself with him when he looked right across the court. And there, almost at midcourt, sitting there was Drew McDonald, the guy who buried his team in the semifinals of the conference tournament 3 or 4 years ago with that last-second buzzer beater. And so he's getting beat in this game And then he looks across the way, and he sees Drew McDonald sitting there, and that probably just enraged him even more. So we just think the culture of NKU basketball has really grown, starting with John Brannon and now carrying over into Darren Horn's era.
Yeah, it's definitely a tournament memory that I think all of us NKU fans are not do remember. And I love that, again, just bringing out that rage of just kind of it all coming back to him, just flashing back to him. And, man, what a memory that was. And you know what is cool? And we see this here at Wright State a lot. My favorite thing is, like, when you see players, former players of Coach Nagy, when they come back into town, you know, every once in a while you look down and you won't just see one or two former players. You'll see about three, four, or five, and they're all sitting together and they're all sitting behind the bench and they're all catching up with coaches after the game. That right there, it just shows that, hey, you know, it means something to these players, current players, past players. And it sounds like that same kind of culture exists with Northern Kentucky, obviously. But Wright State, great program. Northern Kentucky, great program. A lot of great programs. Your thoughts just on, you know, with Cleveland State, Dennis Gates, you know, Darren Horn's done a fantastic job at Northern Kentucky. I think the coaching in the league is top-notch right now. I love the story of Cleveland State right now as well. Just your thoughts looking around the league and seeing, you know exactly what I mean when you know where Cleveland State was just a few years ago as far as the situation they were in. They just couldn't seem to get out of their own way. They struck gold with Dennis Gates. Just your thoughts on the job that he has done at Cleveland State.
Well, before I address that, let me just throw out a couple of other names. And I mentioned Drew McDonald, but I want to spotlight Cole Murray, who sits there with Drew McDonald courtside all the time, one of the best three-point shooters in NKU D1 history. He's at a lot of games. Tyler Sharp, a left-handed sharp shooter, if you will, there for many years, is a lot of times at the games. And we even ran into a guy from the early era of the D1 NKU run, Dean Danos. He really wasn't a starter. He played for a couple of years before he got injured. But when we were up in Indianapolis, we ran into Dean Danos, who is in dental school, and he came out to see the team play. And he's been down here for the homecoming weekend recently. So you see a lot of these former players coming back, and they really are taking pride in what they're seeing with this NKU team and with this program. So I just wanted to throw those guys' names out there. But you're right regarding Dennis Gates and the job he has done at Cleveland State, because for many years, Cleveland State, and I don't want to use the word laughingstock, but Cleveland State was a team that you knew that when you played them, you were more likely going to beat them. Mm-hmm. And whether it be at home or up at the Wolstein Center, you were going to go in there and get a victory. But when Dennis Gates took over, he implemented a program that has really, really worked out well. They don't have, other than Torrey Patton, what you would consider a star player, but they execute their offense and their defense so well that they last year obviously won the regular season, won the conference tournament, went to the NCAA, and this year they're right up there again. So again, Torrey Patton is a great player, and they have some very, very fine support players around him, including probably their quarterback on the floor, Trey Gomillion, and they're a tough team to beat, and they really have had NKU's number up until recently when they came down to BB&T Arena and NKU got the best of them. And so they're going to be a tough team to beat. They and Oakland are the only teams right now that have single-digit losses, and NKU was very fortunate to get wins over both of them. They had that long five-game homestand, and they really got things rolling. Were able to beat Cleveland State. They were able to beat Purdue-Fort Wayne, both teams that had beaten them earlier in the year. And then they won that incredible overtime game against Oakland where they came from behind to get the victory. And I really kind of think that game wore them down for the following day against Detroit. And I know this team is looking forward to going to Detroit this weekend and trying to avenge that loss to Mike Davis's team because, excuses aside, they played 45 minutes on Friday night of intense basketball against Oakland, and then because of weather-related issues, had to come back the very next night and play Detroit. Detroit had gotten blown out at Wright State the night before, so maybe it wasn't quite as intense for them there. And they did get the better of NKU in that game, but I know the Norse feel like they can get the job done in Detroit this weekend.
All right, good stuff. The voice of the Norse in Northern Kentucky, Jim Kelch, good enough to be our guest on this week's edition of Reach the Horizon. the official podcast of the Horizon League. It's hard to believe that we're just a few weeks away from the Horizon League Championships getting underway. March 1st is when the Horizon League first round tournament, or when the first round of the Horizon League tournament will tip off on campus sites. And then, of course, getting down to the Final Four, which will culminate again at the Indiana Farmers Coliseum in Indianapolis. The road to the Horizon League tournament is going to be a fun one, that is for sure. Jim, send us out with this, if you don't mind. You mentioned it. They're coming up a big weekend. They lost to Detroit the last time, as you mentioned, but they're at Detroit. They can get that game back this weekend. They're at Oakland, and then talk about the advantages of being, especially in a tight race like this, just talk about how important it is to get the wins this weekend, but then to have the opportunity to close out the season, the regular season, with two at home. That has to be big, especially against Robert Morris Youngstown State. Having two home games to close out the regular season in a tight race for a regular season title, that has to be big.
You know, I'll tell you this, Justin. You look at the league, and other than the struggles that IUPUI has gone through this year, even Green Bay, with 3-13 right now in the conference, they're a tough game to play. And NKU just won up there by 9, but they're a tough team. I know their record doesn't look like it. You look at 4-21 overall and say, how tough can they be? But they've been a tough team to beat. Robert Morris, they defeated NKU when the Norse were up there. It was their first conference win. They've got Khalil Spear, who's just a terrific player, and some decent support players around them. So really, we've talked on the air and off the air about it. Even if Northern Kentucky is fortunate enough to finish in the top four and thus get that first round bye, and now that UIC is back in the mix to play in the conference tournament, all 12 teams will be in there. And those first round games, the winners that come out of there, I don't know that there's any team that you look at and say, oh, good, we get to play them. That's going to be an easy game into the semifinals. I mean, you look at Robert Morris, you look at Milwaukee, who beat NKU at home, UIC, which NKU, won in overtime up at their place, Detroit, Youngstown State, and Purdue-Fort Wayne, along with NKU, probably the three hottest teams going right now. There are no easy draws once you get to the quarterfinals, so it's going to be difficult, and it makes for a very exciting basketball. I'm looking forward to this weekend up in Detroit, Friday night against the Titans, Sunday afternoon against the Golden Grizzlies, and then the opportunity to close it out at home is going to be good for NKU. They can avenge, hopefully, that loss to Robert Morris, and then that final regular season game against Jared Calhoun's Youngstown State team, that's going to be an intense battle. Look to have a great crowd at BB&T for that one, and the team that comes out of this conference to represent the league in the NCAA tournament is really going to be battle-tested, because the league this year, really from top to bottom, is as equally matched, I believe, as it has been in many, many years.
I agree. There's always been that one team, that number one team at the top that everyone just assumes is going to win it all, and you can't assume anything right now because it's so tight between 1 and 5. I mean, Purdue-Fort Wayne, they're a team that's quietly just kind of hanging in the mix right there as well. They're another fun story to keep an eye on. The Norse and Northern Kentucky have won 3 the last 5 Horizon League championships. Can they make it 6? Of course, we got to get to the tournament first, but an exciting final 4 games of the regular season for Northern Kentucky. Jim Kelch, voice of the Norse. Jim, thank you so much. It's always great hearing your voice, and love that we're talking about basketball with fans and the tournament around the corner and a chance to go dancing in March. It's going to be an exciting finish, that's for sure.
Yeah, it will be. And Justin, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and allowing me to expound about NKU. We love to talk about the Norse, and hopefully we'll run into you up in Indianapolis.
All right, good stuff there. Again, Jim Kelch, voice of the Norse in Northern Kentucky. Jim is one of my favorite guests. I mean, I've been listening to Jim for many, many years, going all the way back to his time with the Cincinnati Reds. I mean, I loved his work with the Reds, and I loved when I found out that he was doing the games for Northern Kentucky, because obviously our affiliation here with the Horizon League, so still getting to interview Jim and talk with him, whether it's Reds baseball or Northern Kentucky, Horizon League basketball in general. Always appreciate his time and does a fantastic job. I really love the broadcast crews around the Horizon League. I mean, I live here in Dayton. I follow Wright State closely. Chris Collins and Jim Brown are fantastic. I mean, Jim Brown coming to the table with his former coaching experience. I mean, so knowledgeable about the league, so knowledgeable about his Wright State program, of course. And then Chris Collins, 25 years of experience. I mean, when you hear that voice, I mean, it just sounds like a radio voice. Same thing with Jim Kelch, but there are a lot of great radio voices and just voices in general that bring you Horizon League basketball on a weekly basis, whether you're listening to it on the radio, on the stream, or, of course, on the ESPN Plus feed. The Horizon League's very fortunate to have so many great media members. Neil Rule, another one. I mean, I'm going to leave some guys out, not purposely, but a lot of really good ones out there. Appreciate their work, and I definitely appreciate Mr. Jim Kelch for coming on. It's the Journey to the Horizon League tourney, as, of course, we just started bringing the podcast back last week, of course, and it's, you know, the race to the finish line, and what a race it's going to be. Cleveland State, standings-wise, sitting atop the Horizon League, as they've been throughout pretty much the entire season. 17-7 overall, 13-4 mark in the Horizon League. They've kind of been tripped up a few times over the last week, which has been able to keep teams like Oakland in it. I mean, you look at Northern Kentucky, they're still in it. Northern Kentucky, as I said, that's the team that everyone needs to be paying attention to. You know, Wright State, great team, of course, Grant Basile, Tanner Holden, Trey Calvin. I mean, they have a great roster. They have a great team. But while everyone's focusing on them and talking about Jamal Cain in Oakland, and by the way, I'm not saying this in a disrespectful tone, like these teams should be talked about, there's Northern Kentucky. They're just kind of hanging around. They're just kind of doing their own thing. But since January 25th, and let's see, it's February 16th right now, so we're talking about a 2.5-3 week stretch. Over the last 3 weeks, Northern Kentucky, they hold two wins over Wright State, they hold a win over Oakland, and they hold a win over Cleveland State. They have beaten everyone in front of them. They have 4 games left, another big road series coming up, as we talked about with Jim. Of course, they're going to be at Detroit, at Oakland this weekend, and then they get to close it out at home, Robert Morris and Youngstown State. Having 2 home games, the final 2 games of the regular season, when you're in a tight race like this, look out for Northern Kentucky. Whether it be the regular season champions or, of course, the tournament, Northern Kentucky has won 3 the last 5 Horizon League championships, and they're looking to make it 6. The last one that they won, they, of course, didn't actually get to go and play in the tournament due to COVID, of course, canceling the 2020 NCAA tournament. Northern Kentucky, they want to redeem that storyline. They want to get back to the NCAA tournament, and, of course, they're equipped to do so. Oakland 11-4 in the Horizon League, as Northern Kentucky comes in at 3rd at 11-5. Wright State's there at 12-6. Very similar to Northern Kentucky. While everyone's talking about those other top 3, the 4 teams, I'm really impressed with Purdue-Fort Wayne. I love the job that Purdue-Fort Wayne, what they've done since coming into the league last year. Of course, it was kind of it kind of was unfortunate that they were introduced to the league and Robert Morris introduced to the league during a season with no fans, not being able to really kind of capture what their atmosphere is like at their home games, or for them to be able to capture what the atmosphere is like at their Horizon League opponents' arenas throughout the conference. But they're getting that experience this year, and they're quietly sitting there at 16-10, 11-6 in Horizon League play. Do not be surprised if the Mastodons are one of the Final Four teams dancing at Indiana Farmers Coliseum in Indianapolis. That is definitely going to be a one to look out for, a team to look out for. Especially after getting that triple overtime win against Cleveland State. I mean, there's something about the way that Purdue Fort Wayne plays, because they have just always been a thorn in the side of Cleveland State. You think back to last year's Horizon League tournament. I mean, Purdue Fort Wayne almost pulling off the upset against Cleveland State, really forcing them, pushing them to the limit. But again, Purdue Fort Wayne, they won a triple overtime thriller to extend its win streak to 5 games and end its home regular season schedule, having won 6 in a row. So that's the unfortunate part for the Mastodons, is, you know, they did play a lot of home games early, but they're done playing at home, at least for the foreseeable future, unless they can find a way to crack that top 4. But what a stretch that the Mastodons are on right now. That's going to be interesting kind of following them as far as that is concerned. Upcoming schedule, UIC at Youngstown State, IUPUI at Robert Morris. That's a 7 and an 8 o'clock tip-off, I should say. See, I still got football on my mind, excuse me. But that's coming up tomorrow night. I'm recording this on a Wednesday morning, so Thursday night, February 17th. But this weekend, man, so many big games. Northern Kentucky at Detroit. Northern Kentucky looking to redeem that loss, as we just talked about with Jim Kelch. Purdue Fort Wayne at Green Bay. Cleveland State at Milwaukee. And Milwaukee looks solid. Okay, Milwaukee just got a big win against Wright State. This is not the season that many were anticipating with Milwaukee, considering they were in all of the headlines heading into the year after acquiring the league's highest-ranked recruit ever in Pat Baldwin Jr. I feel bad for him, because the sky's the limit for that kid, but the injuries have kind of slowed down his development this year as well as the team chemistry with him. But look out, because they've got him back now, and if they can pick up a few big wins, which they've already started with a win against Wright State, imagine what can happen if they get a win at home against Cleveland State. Now Milwaukee's in the conversation. Have I told you I can't wait for this Horizon League tournament? Indianapolis is going to be insane when we get to the Final Four, that's for sure. Wright State looking to keep their chances alive as well, as they're kind of behind the eight ball a little bit. They had a tough loss, this past weekend. Two tough losses, losing at Milwaukee and then, of course, losing at home against Northern Kentucky. They're at that six loss mark. They're going to have to rely on a lot of help in front of them if they still want a chance at a regular season Horizon League crown. Purdue, Fort Wayne at Milwaukee coming up on Sunday, Northern Kentucky at Oakland, and then Cleveland State at Green Bay. Well, that wraps it up for us. This has been Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League. It's the journey to the Horizon League tourney, and we cannot be more excited as the race to the finish line is, of course, heating up, and it's all going to culminate March 7th and 8th at Indiana Farmers Coliseum, where we'll crown a Horizon League tournament champion for both men and women's basketball. And it's going to be an exciting finish, that is for sure. Until next week, this has been Reach the Horizon, the official podcast of the Horizon League.